I was like hospitalized, put on medication, like it was quite hardcore.
This is Izzy Utterson.
And that just made my mood really low.
Izzy Utterson is a TikTok sensation who has made a name for herself as the glow up girl. Over the last couple of years, she has completely transformed herself mentally and physically and is now sharing her secrets with her followers.
It's just about making everything slightly easier for yourself and being a bit kinder to yourself.
A few years ago, Izzy was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. And she also found out that her mum was suffering from Alzheimer's. It was these defining moments that made her want to make a pivotal change in her life. And this is the story that she will tell on today's episode.
When you get into the realms of illness that is incurable, it's very hard to see a way out and it's very hard to see any hope. But I read Atomic Habits and something in that just like clicked in my mind.
This podcast for me is all about bringing on people who have genuinely inspired me. And I've recently followed this girl and I know she's going to be so huge in the wellness space. She has got so much value to give and so much knowledge. Get ready for another episode of Learning As I Go. I am predicting big things for this lady next to me. And I'm in a privileged position where I've got this podcast. And this podcast started off with me bringing on people who have genuinely inspired me and someone that I've learned something from. And I've recently been following you on TikTok. You are a rising star of TikTok. You're known for being the glow up girl. And I have seen the glow up, right, in the last 2 years. And if you don't follow Izzy Utterson, please do go and follow her now on TikTok because this girl is so inspiring. You've obviously been through a physical and mental transformation over the last few years. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say welcome to the Learning As I Go studio.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
So let's talk about Izzy, right? So the reason why I got you on this podcast mm-hmm. is because I feel like you're the girl version of me, but like better in terms of the way that you just talk about wellness, mindset, habit stacking. I just know that you've got so much value to add. But talk me through your journey. Like what made you make some big changes? I think it was in 2022, was it?
Yeah, so I guess a few things happened in my life between kind of 2019 and 2022, where I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder with psoriasis, and that kind of like overcame me. I was like hospitalized, put on medication, like it was quite hardcore. And that just made my mood really low. And so then kind of ensued this journey of like binge drinking and binge eating and kind of trying to fill that void in any way that I could, trying to just like feel good, get that like hit of dopamine in any way I could because I felt so bad about myself. And then latterly to that, my mum was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And that was like the world came crashing down. And I think for me, that just made everything feel so like dark and kind of like hopeless. And I think with something like that, like where you have these things in your life, whether it's like a chronic illness, be it what I had or what my mum was diagnosed with, I think we're so used to, oh, you're ill, take this and it's going to be better. I think when you get into the realms of illness that is incurable, it's very hard to see a way out and it's very hard to see any hope. But I read Atomic Habits and something in that just like clicked in my mind. And this is soon after my mum's diagnosis. Something in that I was like, it's so simple. It suddenly seemed so simple and like actually it wasn't impossible. Because for a long time I'd been trying, like I'd say to myself every Monday morning, like after a weekend of like overindulging and binge drinking and like partying and whatever, I'd say, I'm not doing it again. We're not doing that again. Like, we're going to like be good. I'm not going to drink this week. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. Then Friday would roll around again, you know, all too well. And I would engage in the same toxic behaviors.
Talk me through that behavior because I can't imagine like knowing you now that you were a binge drinker. Like,
how
crazy was it?
My tolerance is not that high, to be fair. But like enough where I was like blacking out and enough where I was like kind of making decisions that maybe weren't reflective of who I wanted to be and enough that the whole weekend was written off and that I was just living for that weekend. I was living for that like escape, that buzz from the alcohol and that it meant like every Monday, Tuesday, I was just miserable. I was in a job that I didn't really like and I just felt bad. And you know, when you've only got like, however much of the week that actually you're feeling half decent. Like in the grand scheme of life, it's not that much. Like you spend the majority of your life either like drunk or hungover, basically. And I didn't want that for myself, but I didn't know. I knew how to stop, but I couldn't. And it's like, we know how to stop these things, but we don't. Like 70% of smokers don't want to smoke. But why do they not stop? So I think for me, it was just like thinking, okay, I'm going to try and do it. And it was just like trial and error. And I kept failing and I kept falling down. Then I picked up that book and something in me just like changed.
What do you think was keeping you in that cycle? Like, what void were you trying to fill?
I think I was just so unhappy with myself. I didn't like who I was. And I think when you are stuck in that cycle and you don't know about how your brain works and how environment affects you, and you don't know all those things, you just think that you're a fuck up.
Yeah.
You think that you're broken and that it's like you're the bad person. I wasn't, I've got no issues with alcohol, so to speak, but there definitely is that chasing of that dopamine. So where you've got that reward center in your brain, that dopamine being released from the alcohol much more quickly and much more powerfully quickly than say going for a run or going to the gym, it was just the easiest way to
quick
feel
fixes.
Good. Yeah, it was the easiest way to feel good.
And then talk to me about, you call it a chronic illness, it's psoriasis, is that right?
Yeah.
Like for anyone who doesn't know, and I don't really know, to be honest, I'd love to know a little bit more. Like, what is the diagnosis on that? Like, what's the kind of conditions?
Yeah, so chronic illnesses and autoimmune disorders are basically when your body attacks itself. Right. So someone with psoriasis, your body, your white blood cells are attacking your skin. So someone with diabetes, it's their body's attacking their pancreas. So there's many, many different kinds of autoimmune disorders. So for me, it was affecting my skin. And I had it so badly to the point where it was covering 90% of my body. It never covered my face, but it was 90% of my body was covered. And it can get so bad where it's kind of like thickness to the point of like, you can't sweat. So there's like worry about you getting hypothermia. And there was a point where it was like, they thought it was that bad. So I was actually hospitalized like for a couple of nights and actually it was okay in the end. But I was on crazy drugs. I was on immunosuppressants, which is what they give to people who have had like organ transplants. There was talk of going on like methotrexate, which is a kind of chemo. Like it's a hardcore thing and it's a hardcore illness. And what it does as well is like you get lots, I talk a lot about inflammation and kind of like that kind of thing. And why I know so much about it is because there's so much inflammation in your body. And when your body's attacking itself, you're knackered. Mm. So like, as well as the obvious like aesthetic of it, like you're too tired to try and get better, if that makes sense. Like I was too tired to try and do the things that were going to make me feel good. Or at least I thought I was too tired to do it.
But where did this come from, this disease? Because I've heard this before where it just comes out of nowhere. Like in terms of what brought it on, is there anything that kind of triggered it?
It can be triggered by lots of things. It can be triggered by stress, by lifestyle. For me, I think like it coincided really like with when I started partying a lot. And I think your body, have you heard of that book, The Body Keeps the Score? Like your body knows when to tell you to stop. And to be honest with you, up until that point, I'd been pretty healthy. Like I'd eaten well, I'd sort of like moved my body. I was always in good shape, always felt good. And suddenly I like went down this kind of spiral path and your body does keep the score. Like your body's going to tell you like, it's time for you to stop and we're going to do it in any which way we can. And that culminated for me in an illness.
It's interesting you say that though, because I mean, I hit it hard for about 10 years and I mean like horrifically hard. And I think back going, how did I like get away with it?
Yeah.
But in terms of, for me, it was more the mental like stress of it, because I knew deep down my potential and where I should be, I just felt really unfulfilled. And I think that was the biggest problem for me. But with something like this illness, obviously it's affecting you like physically as well as mentally.
Yeah.
Like, what was your initial coping mechanism for that? Because for a young girl to have, obviously, is it like pigmentation in your skin or?
Yeah, so now it kind of is, but it was like red rate. Like it doesn't look typically nice, let's say. I don't want to say it looks bad because like, I think everyone's beautiful in their own way, but it's not ideal. And I think for a girl in her early 20s, like growing up in like the Tumblr society where like, and to be honest with you now with social media, where your body is your kind of currency and how you look is so important and so much value is placed on it. And suddenly it was like, okay, well, that's not my currency anymore, clearly. And actually, in a kind of funny way, I say that it's the best thing that ever happened to me because it forced me to look inward. I'd placed so much importance on how I looked for so many years. And suddenly it was kind of like, right, that's not important. Actually, I need to like get well. And so in a way, it kind of saved my life, because I think probably I would have carried on in the same way that I was, and I wouldn't have kind of forced myself to look inwards and really figure out, okay, what's going on in my body and what can I do to kind of fix it, because I can't carry on like this. It's just going to get worse and worse.
So talk to me. So you read the book Atomic Habits.
Yes.
That was a trigger moment for you.
Yeah.
What was the first step in kind of looking after yourself? You've gone from being this like binge drinking party girl to now being sat in front of me now inspiring so many people. What was the first step that kind of changed things for you?
Environment. Ooh. And I think environment's a really invaluable one. A bit of the book that really stood out for me, and I still say it to so many people now, and whenever I say it, they're like, oh yeah, that makes complete sense. If you're putting yourself in an environment where you have engaged in toxic behaviors, so let's, for argument's sake, say it's drinking and you go to the pub every night and get smashed. Okay, so you've decided I don't want to do that anymore. It doesn't make sense to go to the pub to start that journey because you're putting yourself in that environment where you engage in toxic behaviors. So it's that habit, that cue and that reward. So the habit is that you're drinking, the cue is that you're kind of taking yourself to that environment, the reward's the drink, right? So first was that, and there was certain people, I guess, that I was around that the behaviors that I would engage in when I was with them were not behaviors I wanted to engage in anymore. And that if I reframed the context of seeing those people, so maybe I just saw them for a walk if I wanted to see them, if I wanted to keep them in my life, or maybe we had lunch, but I wasn't seeing them in a situation where alcohol was going to be involved, just for the time being while I could exercise that willpower. And that's not to put blame on any person, or it's all on me. Like at the end of the day, it's my journey, it's my issue to overcome. But what I did have the power over was not putting myself in those environments. And that was such a strong one for me. And then it was that focus.
Just on that point there, just for anybody who kind of like would find it difficult to have that kind of conversation with a friend. Like I had to cut off with some of my friends in the early stages because all we did was literally go out and get drunk together. And there's certain mates, and whenever we were together, it was just chaos and carnage. And we laugh about it now, and he's actually pretty much gone sober himself. But I had to kind of break away from him for a little while just for that reason. And I was quite confident to have those kind of conversations, but there's a lot of people like are so influenced by the friends and the crowds. What advice would you give to them to kind of say, to kind of change their environment and have the courage to do it?
I think it's like what I said, you don't have to cut people out. You can just reframe the scenario in which you're seeing them. So maybe you're just not free to meet in that situation where you're going to be going out. Maybe it's, oh, actually I can't, but I'd love to see you for lunch, or I'd love to see you for a walk, where maybe let's say it's alcohol again, like where that's not going to be involved. But also like you've kind of got to take a look at yourself and say like, how do I feel when I am around these people? Because if you don't feel good, like that's a big drain on you and your energy. If there's anything as well I've learned on this journey, it's that you've got to conserve your energy for yourself and like good things, right? Because if you're being drained by toxic environments, relationships, and that's, you know, with friendships, romantic relationships, work relationships, whatever it is, if those things are taking up all your energy because they're making you anxious, they're making you feel a certain way, like, you've got to take note of that. And if the reframing of the situation and the environment doesn't work, then it might be time to have another conversation. And I think some of the best things in my life have come through difficult conversations. No one wants to do them, but it's the biggest growth, because one of my favorite quotes is, if you read the same chapter the same time, it's not going to be a different ending. So you've got to try and rewrite that chapter.
Awkward conversations, especially in work and business, like you blow them up to be so much bigger than they are.
I know, and then they're fine.
And you can think about them for weeks and months and you have the conversation and it's never as bad.
100%. And like my biggest thing with all awkward conversations that I've had, be it breakups, be it friendship breakups, be it quitting jobs, which like in the past year I've had to do, like, two things. I would tell myself, okay, the outcome of this conversation is going to be this. So whatever happens during that conversation, I'm going to stay strong. Like, I'm not going to be manipulated. I'm not going to be told, like, what if we try this? No, because I know that I've sat with this and I want the outcome to be this. But yeah, it's awkward.
That's such good advice, though. Just basically knowing and making up your mind and being firm. And with any decision, when you're trying to make a lifestyle change, like people say to me, like, Scott, when you went sober, like, did people not ask you if you wanted to have a drink and stuff? But no, I fully owned it from the moment I did it. Like literally, as soon as I was 6 months in, I started really talking about it on social media. So whenever I went out, because I owned it, people never really tried to twist my arm. But before that, when I used to go on, I'll go on your drinks, like, I don't know yet. Go on, let's have a little Zambuca, mate. Go on, have two. All right, go on then. Next minute, I've got my top off in the bar and I'm flying around the room. So it's kind of like owning your decisions, and that's the same with awkward conversations.
And I think, you know, like how much, like if you're out with someone and they're like, no, I'm not drinking, I'm not going to fight that. But if I'm with a friend and it's like, you know, you say, oh, you know, of course you're going to try and twist their arm because like, what's the quote? Misery loves company. And I'm not saying that like drinking is misery, but like when people are doing things, I think there feels like a certain threat. Like I still drink. Like I have a very healthy relationship with alcohol. I'm not saying I don't, but definitely not to the level I did. But I think there's a feeling sometimes. It's like when you're in a restaurant, you know, when you order something healthy and someone doesn't. It's that thing of like, oh, you're so healthy. And so like, or like, oh, you're not drinking. Why are you not drinking? I think people get a bit worried about this, sort of feel a bit bad maybe sometimes that they're not. And that was something I tried to keep in my mind as well, is that I was never trying to like be preachy about it. And I was never trying to make anyone feel bad with it. But I knew for me, that was what had to be done.
But that's one thing that really shines out with you is that you kind of seem really self-assured and you know who you are. And I know that kind of work doesn't happen overnight. So for example, when you were drinking, the reason why a lot of people tend to drink, and first of all, they're following the crowds and they want to be around people. They're not really grounded with who they are. So it's quite easy to be like persuaded into situations that don't really serve them.
Yeah.
But I'm presuming that you didn't always know who you were.
No.
And you talk about, I've seen some of your posts, like you talk about a little bit of like self-admin and like kind of awareness about figuring out, describe how you call it. Like it's basically doing like a bit of an analysis on yourself.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a self-reflection piece, yes. I guess.
Which no one ever does, by the way.
Everyone should.
Yeah.
Everyone should. For me, I literally, when I really started like really, really focusing on it all. Mm. So kind of like, I guess 2022, when I really, like I went, not hardcore, I wouldn't say, but I was like pretty adamant that every night I would do like a visualization meditation, and every morning I would listen to affirmations and I would write my gratitude. And I like did this vision board and it was like, what does the woman that I want to be like look like, do, feel this, and like visualizing it and saying like, okay, I feel X, Y, Z, like saying it as if it's the present tense, and just getting so clear to the point where that person that you know that you want to be just becomes so clear in your head that you just become it naturally. But it took me a while to figure out what that even was. I think for a long time, I was definitely like a sheep. I was a big like, yes, man, I would just do whatever because I was just a big people pleaser. Mm. And I always have been like a massive people pleaser. I still now like, it like kills me. Like my chest goes because I just want to like say yes to everything and keep the peace.
But do you not think being a people pleaser is part of being a human being though? Because we're tribes people originally. Like there's part of us that kind of needs to keep other people happy, because back in the day, if we didn't, we'd be like kind of chucked out of the tribe and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? But I think there's an element of almost like leadership brings happiness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because there would have been leaders amongst the tribe and stuff.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're definitely right with it being kind of innate to us, that wanting to keep the peace and wanting to kind of fit in and please people. But I think I was just probably in the wrong place.
Mm.
I think everyone has a place to fit in, but you just might not necessarily be in the right place.
How do you spot a friend then who's not giving you the positivity, or do you know what I mean? How do you know when, because it took me a while to realize, right? I thought, I feel shit every time I'm with him.
Yeah.
And he's not got my back.
It's kind of mad. And I was having this conversation the other day with someone. I was like, you know, my life is in a place right now that I'm really happy with and I'm really proud of it. And I've shared it with people and the response sometimes is like, oh my God, it's mega, you know, this, that, and that's like so nice. And vice versa for them, you know, when something amazing happens to them. But sometimes it's like, okay, right. And it's like a stab. And you know, when you try and show, you so, oh, watch this, like, it's so funny, or like, it's so great. Like, and they're just not interested. I think our gut feelings are everything, I think. I think you know when someone's not really got your best interests at heart. But I think so oftentimes based on habit, based on longevity, oh, I've been friends with them for 10 years. They're the person I see, you know, I see them every Friday. It's like, okay, but that doesn't always necessarily mean that they've got your back and that's the best person for you.
Mm.
But I think you know, and if you really think about it, like if anyone listening like initially kind of thought, oh, if you take a minute and really think about like who's got your back and who you could call in any situation, like not that many. And I think people have got, and that's okay because you can't be everything for everyone.
Mm.
And everyone can't be everything for you. We've only got time for a certain amount of people. But do you remember how your parents would always be like, oh, you've got so many friends, like you only need five good friends, you know, or whatever it is. But it is kind of true. Like you need a really like good circle. Of course you can be friends with lots of people, but in terms of people you can rely on and like really close to you that have your back, like it's not that many.
It's interesting, is it? Because like, especially talking about the stuff that you're talking about now on social media, like glowing up and habit stacking and all this kind of wellness orientated content. Like I lap it all up because I'm in that space, but it can be really polarizing and it can also hold a mirror up to a lot of people who are not ready to make those changes. I've seen that with my social media. Like I feel like a lot of people, like my friends, like they kind of respect, they see the change, but at the same time, as I know behind my back, a lot of them are probably like, oh, give it a rest. Have a day off. On TikTok, it's the worst because on TikTok, people just give you hours. Oh, you stopped drinking, mate. Well done. Like, and it's just, and it's hard not to kind of take that personally. But at the same time, is what I've realized is the more kind of niche you go into an area, the kind of more that you polarize people, but you also attract so much more of the right people. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you might cut off a massive chunk of people, but you start to attract a lot more of a majority of a certain space. Does that make sense?
Totally. Like you've got to stand by your views. You've got to have an opinion and you've got to stick by it.
You've got to polarize people. That's the point I'm trying to make, basically.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like, and I always talk about people like Olivia Attwood, right?
Yeah.
Like she just says it how it is, right? And people...
And she's killing it.
People love her for it. But I guarantee on the up, the way up, people would have gone, she's miles off it. She needs to chill out.
Yeah.
But now, because she's owned it.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, she's cool. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
And I think like you've got to basically, the more that you are authentically yourself, like, because again, when I even talk about Olivia, like when she first come off Love Island and there's been this massive change in content now, I think, in terms of public personas where people used to be a lot more like, media trained, polished, and because of the rise of TikTok now, people see through all of that and they just want raw stuff. You just said, can I swear then? I guarantee you, 2 years ago, you would not have sworn on this podcast.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have. I'm fucking swearing a little bit now.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Oh my God, I feel so naughty. Do you know what I mean though? But that is the way the world's going.
Definitely.
And I think like people are so scared to just be their authentic self.
I was so scared to talk about it because the comments I get, like I'm lucky, touch wood, like I thus far have not had that many nasty comments. But when I do get comments, like, what the hell do you know? Posh privilege, this. And I'm like, yeah, fair enough. Like I have had a very privileged upbringing and I like acknowledge that totally. But it's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Like I'm trying to like help people feel like the best version of themselves and just share my story basically. But I think the more I grow, the more that's going to happen, right? It happens to everyone, but it has just become white noise. But also, and like, it's something I try to stand by. No one doing better than you is talking shit about you. Like, no one. That's a fact. Like, no one that you admire is talking shit about you because they're too far gone anyway. It's the people, like, that want to be doing what you're doing. I think jealousy and envy brings out the ugliest side of people and the nastiest side of people. I've been there. We've all been there where we felt that way. And there's this other thing that Mel Robbins always speaks about, which is the let them theory. People are going to be talking shit about you, whether you're posting on TikTok or you're doing nothing. They'd be, you know, do you know what I mean? Like if you were doing nothing, none of it, they'd be like, oh my God, what's he doing? Like he's not doing anything with his life. But when you're trying to do the most, oh my God, they're really trying to, people are going to do it either way. So it's like, would you rather they were talking shit about you failing or talking shit about you killing it? Like I know which one I would prefer. And like, I was always so worried about what people thought. I was like, oh my God, like, so, and even still now, like, I get the odd nasty comment. I'm like, oh, like, it hurts. It does hurt.
Do you do what I do, right? Get all these nice comments on TikTok. I know you scroll right now.
Look, what?
And there's like a thing where it says, like, do you know what it says? Protects the filtered comments. I go, like,
I know. I
want to see him.
I
want to see him. I'm like, I feel like shit. And I've got all these nice comments. I'm like, Scott, you're not well. And it's like human nature.
It is human
but
nature.
But I like it as well because like you said, over time, I'm becoming more and more thick-skinned. So I just wanted to take a little moment before we crack on with the rest of the episode to let you know about something that I am super passionate about. If you followed me over the last few years, you know I've been on an incredible journey. I've managed to turn my lifestyle completely around and I've learned so much along the way. I've acquired various different tools. I've learned from so many different amazing people. And I've now managed to create my own wellness brand. I can't even believe it myself. It's called Food for Thoughts, and we are now focusing on four key pillars: nutrition, fitness, mindset, and connection. These are the four pillars that have got me to this point right now. We have just launched our brand new model in January, and it's gone off to a flyer. We've just signed loads of new members, and it's so beautiful to see everybody thriving at the start of this year. Trying something new, coming out of the comfort zone. And we've got a team of dedicated coaches and an amazing community that are going to help everybody get to where they need to get to. So if you're looking for a lifestyle change this year and you want to be surrounded by like-minded people on the same wave as you, and you want to have access to regular Zooms with specialist nutri coaches, Zooms with myself, guest speakers such as Ollie Ollerton, if you want to have regular fitness classes online and be part of amazing events on a monthly basis, then Food for Thoughts is for you. It's also for you if you feel like you're stuck in a rut, you're going around in circles, you feel unsupported and you want to make some changes, but you don't know where to turn. This is the perfect one-stop shop to get you started and moving in the right direction. For more information, head over to www.f4t.com and check out the website now. What would be your number one advice for anybody who's kind of so influenced by other people's views?
I think where my mum got diagnosed was it for me. Life is too short. Mm. Like, you cannot worry about what other people are thinking about you. Because guess what? You're never going to get to your deathbed, whenever that is, and look back and say like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't do that because of what X, Y, and Z thought of me. Never. Mm. You're never going to say that. And it's taken a lot in my life, and it's taken like loss and grief for me to really understand that life is just so short. You've got one life, and like, it's you are completely in control of what you do with it. And I know it sounds cheesy, I know it sounds this, that, but that is just it for me. It's like, I can't waste a day worrying about what other people think of me, or because it doesn't matter. And the people I used to worry so much about what they thought of me, I don't even talk to them anymore. Mm. Like, they're not even in my life anymore. So it's like, did it really matter? You know, should I have given that any thought really? Probably not, but it is human nature. We do it. And if you find yourself with imposter syndrome or doubting yourself or worrying about what other people think, like, of course you are. That's normal too. But just trying to remember that, like, it's such a gift what we have to even be here, like the likelihood of even like being alive. And again, I know it sounds cheesy, but I think trying to remind yourself of that. And the other day when I was giving this talk, I was talking about gratitude and like journaling. And one of the girls put her hand up and she was like, I find that I'm writing the same thing every day. And I was like, okay, first of all, you're the only one reading it. It's not a book that needs to interest everyone. But second of all, how lucky are you that you're writing the same thing every day? That every day you can be grateful for your health, that every day you can be grateful for your family, for your friends, that every day, like, there's something really beautiful in the mundane, like, to be able to be grateful for those things every single day because nothing bad has happened is amazing. And I think if we could be a bit more aware of that rather than chasing the highs, like, we'd be a bit more content and happy with our lives.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I'm a big believer in gratitude as well, but it's so hard to keep that perspective sometimes. I mean, the other day I had one little moment, I was having like a lot of stress with work and stuff, yeah. And I just looked at my fridge and it was fully stocked up. And I just went, I'm lucky to have that fully stocked up fridge. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I write the same shit every day. Like, I'm grateful for my dog. I'm grateful for my brothers, my family.
Yeah.
And I try to just sit on it for a minute. Like, rather than just writing it down and throwing it away, it's just like, my warm house. My house is always warm. Yeah. Like, and it's the little things. And don't get me wrong, like, in a world where we're always reaching for more, this is something that I need to kind of go even, like, deeper into. How do you keep perspective on, like, being grateful for the little things? Because you're a very ambitious woman. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to achieve great things. Mm-hmm. Do you every day appreciate the little things? And how do you find a way to do that?
No, I definitely have days when I fall off. Like, I definitely have days where I have to check myself and be like, okay, my dad's very good at that. He's a very humbling man. He's got no idea what TikTok is. So that keeps me very humble and in check. He's like, what do you even do? And I'm like, okay. Like, reminds me of, do you know what I mean? Brings me back to real life a bit. But you are going to have days where you feel like pissed off or disappointed and like you could be doing more, right? But I think for me, where I've kind of done it so much now, where I really just every day like do either write it down or say it in my head, like how grateful I am, and like kind of trying to give myself perspective, I guess, like there's so much like bad going on in the world. And actually, like, we should really be grateful for those like mundane small things. And I think trying to just like look around and like, even just like smiling, like if you just smile, it makes you feel better. That's like a little tactic I have. Like it actually makes you feel better to just smile. But yeah, I definitely have off days. But I think if you can just try and bring yourself back, like practicing gratitude, it's kind of like working out. Like the more you do it, the more natural it's going to become, the stronger you're going to get at it and the better you're going to get at it. But it's, you know, it's
I'm glad
work.
You said that though, because like for someone like you or me, like I feel a lot of pressure sometimes to be Mr. Positive all the time. And you ask my team, I'm not.
Oh yeah.
But then I am positive in so many other ways where I can bring energy into a room. I can bring energy to my followers. And when I'm me, I am positive and I've got the best energy. But there are days when I'm like, shit, man, I'm looking after everybody else here.
Yeah.
But I'm, and I think that's okay because—
Of course,
like
of that, course that's okay.
That's part of being a human being. It's part of like, do you know what I mean? Like we're working on this stuff just as much and I do find value in all these things. And if I am, and I'm really proud about this, if I am going through a tough time or feeling shit, I will still lean into journaling, meditating, reading. Like even last night, like I hadn't been to the gym. I was like, I need to go to the gym for 30 minutes. Just do something. Because whereas back in the day, it would have been, let's go out, let's get pissed. Let's go on a two-day bender. Yep. Let's disappear. Let's run away. And I'm so grateful now that those are the techniques that I use, but it doesn't mean that I don't need to use them anymore because
definitely.
I do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a really good quote for me recently that I listened to was by Emma Greed. She's like CEO, creative director, Good American, like Skims, like all those like massive, so successful, amazing businesswoman.
The entrepreneur? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She's unreal. Obsessed with her. And she talks about the rule of thirds. So it's a, and this is someone that I like for all intents and purposes has killed it and continues to kill it, like unreal. And she talks about the rule of thirds and it's basically like a third of the time things are going to be amazing, epic, massive. A third of the time they're going to be okay and a third of the time they're going to be shit. And the more that we can accept that like life is kind of like that too, because without the days that you're talking about, you wouldn't have the amazing days. And you wouldn't have just the average days as well. Like they all kind of balance each other out, the good and the bad. And people have been saying it for like as long as time's gone on, but like it's hard to remember. But it's important to sit in those days. And I've got some friends who definitely fall in the category of toxic positivity. Oh my God, no, don't talk about that. That's bad vibe. No, I don't want to talk about that. And it's like, I understand, like I reframe it. Like I'll say to my friends, if they're like, oh, I'm like, don't say that about yourself. Speak positively about yourself. And like, don't say, oh, I'm not going to get that job or I'm not going to... Say that you will, because if you do, amazing. And if you don't, that's okay. You'll get something else. But like, try and be positive with that. But if you're feeling bad, if something objectively bad has happened or you're just feeling bad because you're a human, that's okay. Toxic positivity is a lot more harmful than you having a day or two to really sit in that sadness or whatever it might be, that anger, whatever it is. It's important to feel all those emotions because really toxic positivity is just suppressing those emotions.
Mm. Oh, do you know what? It's so interesting you say that because I think the third thing is really interesting because I think we're kind of fed now, right? Like back in the day, it was like hustle culture, work every hour of every day, no sleep. And that's how you achieve great things. Yeah. And now the world's going, do what makes you happy. Make sure you get rest off time. Look after you. And I think there's somewhere in the middle that's a sweet spot because every successful person I've ever met has never really had work-life balance. And I think me chasing balance so much has actually made me more kind of stressed because I'm like, right, I need to do everything this day. So I'll shut off at 6 p.m. so that I have work-life balance. And in actual fact, if I'm trying to achieve great things with my businesses and I want to make a name for myself, and it's not going to be easy. And I think like achieving anything's not meant to be easy. And if you look at, I don't know, like even like back in the day with like some of the jobs that people had working in the coal mines and do you know what I mean? Like life isn't supposed to be easy. And I think if anything, we have it the easiest it's ever been. Do you think as a population of people, like we're kind of getting a little bit softer? Does that make sense? And I don't like to use that word soft. Do you know what I mean? Like in terms of like, because I'm worried that I believe in wellness so much, right? Yeah. I really do. But to the point where like, and I listen to a lot of motivational guys now, they're going, listen, if anyone's going to be successful, now is the time because everybody's so soft.
And this is what I think on that. I think people see a lot of success on social media.
Yes.
And there's this thing called the plateau of latent potential. And it's this idea of overnight success. Because all you're seeing is overnight success. we don't see the hard work that goes into it. We don't see the blood, sweat and tears. We see the overnight success. And something in that, I think, has gone in people's minds like, I deserve that, but I'm not seeing the hard work. And I get it even a little bit. I've had comments from people, why do you get that? Why are you doing that? Well, because I've worked actually quite hard, but that's not what is being seen. It doesn't look like it, but actually there's a lot of hours that have gone on. Like TikTok's been massive for me. Like that's like launched me into what I want to do. But I'd get home from like my 9 to 5 and I was filming videos till 10 o'clock, like hoping, praying that one would go viral and that people would see it. And like, I'm not saying that that's like the hardest thing in the world, but at the end of the day, like I was doing that every single day for like a year before something like really popped off and happened. So it wasn't no work, but I can see why people think it was, because they're just seeing it when it suddenly pops off. And I think it's the same we see for a lot of people that look like overnight success stories. Like, okay, maybe once in a blue moon, that's true. But actually, I think we don't see the hard work that goes in. And so people have this idea that, oh, like, I think especially with influencers, right? Oh my God, they're on that trip. Why are they getting sent that? Why are they getting this? And it's like, you do it then. Do you know what I mean? Like if it's easy, do it. But you don't just get these things from not doing anything.
Yeah, it's
interesting. There's got to be like a bridging the gap.
There's so much work that goes now into being a content creator, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, and maybe you can't compare it to no. being in the coal mines, but no. the level of stress in this day and age, like my mate's mum and dad works in a shop and they work mad hours, but he still says, you guys have it more difficult than us because your brains never stop. Your brains never switch off.
I think,
do you know what I mean? So he looks at it as more difficult in that sense.
Yeah.
But I think you're completely right. Like even like young Harvey, who always gets a mention on my podcast, he came into my life thinking it was all glamorous.
Yeah.
And he saw like, oh, I want to come and work with Scott the Entrepreneur. And he's like, shit, man. Like he, bless him, he texts me nice little messages going, you know what, bro, fair play.
Yeah.
Because I look at him because I said, do you want this? I said, because it's not all sunshine and roses.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and I think it's so interesting for him to, who came into, was attracted into my life through social media to then see the thing. And it's like, he's like, you need to show this more. And I was like, yeah, but people don't really want to see like the challenges
no.
and the thing. And it's just a highlight reel all the time. I try to give as much as possible.
Yeah.
So when I say that we're going soft or anything like that, I think it's just the idea that human beings are meant to be tested. Like that's mm-hmm. how they grow, mm-hmm. like through hard work. And that's the way it's always been. And I think because of social media, we're fed that everybody's living on jet skis in Dubai
yeah.
and everyone's having a buzz. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think, I mean, I'm not a mother myself, but I've spoken to friends of mine who are mothers and see like these perfect mums, you know, with like the clean clothes, making like an apple tart every day or whatever it is, you know, for their baby. And it's all really pretty and perfect. And it's like, that's not true. And it puts so much pressure on everyone to be a certain way. But I think where there is so much pressure from every which angle, you've got to eat this, you've got to exercise like this, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do that. It's like too much almost. Mm. So I think people just actually like are like back to the wall. Like, I don't want to do that, which is why like through my content, when I talk about like actually these really like simple steps, I'm not going to say they're easy because everyone's like, things are easy and difficult for different people, right? But simple steps that you can take towards feeling good, because I think like that's less scary for people. But I know what you mean about people going soft, but I do think it is just that thing of the convenience of everything in our lives now. No one wants to really put in the work.
Exactly that.
And not no one wants to put in the work, like people work really hard, but I think like I can understand where you're coming from with like certain people. It's like, oh, you know, I can't, you know, oh, they're not working, they've just got it. I think it's just the perception that we have of that people have
it's been the long game. Things. People don't really want to play the long game.
Exactly.
And things take a long time. But you talk a lot about, instead of going from 0 to 100, you talk about going from 0 to 10. Yeah. Describe that to me. What does that mean?
So I think for me, like going from 0 to 10, it's just like, so at the beginning of my journey, I think like in the knowing that I just had to get myself to a place where I had a good routine and I was like doing good habits basically. But, you know, I'd been sold like juice cleanses and like crazy workout camps and like it all has to be hardcore. And like, okay, if I invest in this in a week's time, I'm going to look like this. No, like that's not what's going to happen. But I think the marketing is such that we kind of feel that, right? Mm. And I think we overcomplicate things massively. So I think we overcomplicate things to the point where we kind of think like, it's too much, too hard, can't do it. Or we want those quick fixes. And I think neither is the way. I think you've really got to focus on that kind of slow, sustainable method. But 0 to 10 is basically just that idea of, it's like couch to 5K for your mind. Like, you don't need to be running a marathon. The end goal of this is not to lose however much weight or to get to this fitness level. That the end goal is to get yourself to a place where you feel good about yourself, you know what your goals are, and you have the self-confidence and the determination to wake up and like move your body or make healthy choices. But it's not trying to like rocket people to like 100, like I say. Does that make sense? Mm.
So let's talk about your life, Izzy, because obviously I'm gobsmacked that it's been pretty much around 2 years now, and you have literally like created a name for yourself, especially through TikTok, as a bit of an authority in this like wellness space. Mm-hmm. And I'm predicting right now, I'm calling it now, quoting it, that this girl's going to be huge in the space. But it's like, what would you do now? Like, give me 5 things in a day, right? Mm-hmm. Part of your routine that you would do to feel good and glow from the inside out. That's right. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
To glow and grow is your
captain. To glow and grow. Okay. If you were wanting to glow and grow, mm-hmm. I think at a very base level, it would be waking up at more or less the same time every day. So having that kind of like morning wake up where you wake up, it would be moving your body every single day. And that can look however you want it to look. That can be a quick walk. That can be yoga. That can be weight training. That can be swimming. That can be whatever you want it to be. It could be a dance class. But moving your body in some way every single day. It would be getting 8 hours of sleep. I think like we, obviously there are certain situations where people can't, but if you can, I think we don't realize the importance of sleep, like the restoration of our brain. I think our brain health is so unbelievably important and like what it does for us if we've had enough sleep. I would say feeding your body, and what that looks like, again, might look different for different people, but kind of like 3 meals a day and eating just like good food that makes you feel good. Not kind of restricting, being intuitive about that. And then I guess the fifth thing is that kind of gratitude and affirmations. So I'll do my gratitude at the end of the day. That's just when I like to do it. You can do it in the morning. You can do it in the middle of the day, whenever you want. For me, it rounds off the day quite nicely, what I'm grateful for that day. So I always say 5 big things. So that could be family, health, that kind of thing. And then small things like a stranger smiled at me on the street, got a nice coffee from Gail's, like loved, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. And affirmations, literally go onto YouTube, type in positive affirmations, like Mel Robbins, whatever you want to do, and listen to it for 10 minutes while you're doing, brushing your teeth, having your shower, doing your makeup, whatever it might be. And that's an example of habit stacking. Mm. Incorporating something new, a good habit, into something that you already do, so it doesn't feel like such a chore.
Yeah, just go on, describe habit stacking for us.
Yeah, so habit stacking is, you know, a lot of comments I get, oh, I don't have time to do this. And you think, okay, and I appreciate that. Not everyone's time schedule is the same. Like I don't have kids, you know, I get a lot of comments from mums and I'm like, probably this isn't quite, but if you can try a few of the things, great. But obviously I understand everyone's different, but habit stacking is more or less, let's say you wanted to start, we spoke about it last time, gua sha. So like facial massage, like, okay, you're already having a shower every morning, I hope. So you might like put it in your shower so that you add
what's
it into
a
shower
again,
routine.
Just so for anybody.
Is that like that little tool?
So habit stacking is basically when you put one habit on top of the other.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm already showering in the morning. So maybe I'm going to like have my affirmations playing on my phone while I'm in the shower and I'm going to do my skincare routine in the shower. Or, okay, oh, I want to like, these are all very like girly ones, but like, oh, I want to like start like doing hair masks, but I haven't got time. Okay. Well, so put it in when you go for a walk or put it in when you go for a workout. It's just like things that you already do, but adding something on top. So if you go for have a coffee every morning, have your supplements by your coffee, you're making it easier for yourself. Like you're not making it harder for yourself. You're adding a new habit, a good positive habit, onto something that you were already doing, that's already second nature to you. Because all habits really are just like hardwired routines in our brain. Mm. Like the habit of like waking up at a certain time, going for the gym, having a coffee, whatever it might be, like those are all habits, but we do them so much that we don't really think about them. And it's about getting yourself to a point where you don't have to think about them, but in the meantime, just stacking onto the things that you already do.
I love that. Because like going to the gym now, if I don't train in the day, like it's almost like I've not cleaned my teeth.
Yeah.
That's how much of a habit it's become.
Yeah.
And there's something I've been doing recently when I've got a busy morning the next morning, like packing my bags and everything, laying out my outfit for the next day has been a game changer for me. It's like I go to bed like, a lot more like relieved.
Oh God, of course. And then if you wake up and your workout kit's like there, or your outfit for the day is there, like you're just making everything easier for yourself. I always say like nighttime routines and morning routines are fundamental, because like if you're like waking up like late and you're like scrambling to find out, like you're just making work for yourself. Mm. It's just about making everything slightly easier for yourself and being a bit kinder to yourself.
One thing I've noticed about you as well is like your knowledge like is on another level in terms of you're talking about hormones, you're talking about vitamins. How do you understand all this stuff and where does it come from?
I've worked in beauty for a long time. Yeah. And within that, I worked in the wellness space for a couple of years for an amazing woman. And she taught me all about like different homeopathic remedies and what you needed for different hormones and what you needed for kind of happiness and everything like that. And I was always just so interested in how the body works and how the mind works to feel the best that you possibly can. So I think it is just that, like, I kind of just read a lot about it.
Could you talk about like serotonin?
Yeah. And I think
dopamine.
People come to, like, it's funny because my friends always kind of came to me, oh, what supplement do I need to take for this? And what do I need to do for this? And I think I get a lot of that now. And I'm by no means like qualified in it, but I have educated myself a lot. And I always kind of preface that, like, I'm not an expert. This is what I do and it's worked for me. But I think getting to know your body is so important. Like, I talk about it when I talk about weight loss a bit. There's a video I did that went viral and it was about things you can do to lose weight that aren't calorie counting. And one of them was just getting to know your body. Like, how does your body work? What does your body respond to? Like, what are your kind of like pain points? Like, are you feeling a certain way? And then I think as well where I was ill, like figuring out how I could reduce inflammation in my body and just learning about all the supplements that were going to really benefit me. I think as well, you can find things in food as well, but it was just about educating myself in the simplest way to feel the best that I possibly could and wanting to share that with people. Because actually, like, there is so much to be said about eating certain foods and taking certain supplements and just doing basic things every day that make you feel so much better. And like I said, going back to what I said before about juice cleanses and this, that, the other, like, it's all marketing. Like, yeah, there are certain things that are going to work, but really, like, it's quite simple if you know what you're doing, but it's not what we're taught about at school.
Well, it's I always said as well, like, juicing diets, keto diets, they're all pretty much the same thing. They're just putting you in a calorie deficit, but making it really restrictive to the point that it's not sustainable. And you might get to the result, but once you get there, you're not going to stay there because you've not lived your life and you've not been able to enjoy anything.
It's like, it's simple, being a calorie deficit. But no one wants to hear that. I think it's easier almost for, you know what I mean? It's easier to think like, oh, let me just make it really easy for myself and do a juice cleanse or do keto. But actually you're making it harder and less sustainable for yourself in the long term.
I think a lot of stuff you've talked about is like being intuitive, understanding yourself. And you know what? A lot of that comes down to self-awareness. And I think for me, when I went sober for the first time, self-awareness was the biggest gift that I got from that. It's also really difficult. A lot of people like are petrified like of knowing themselves. If you ask them, like, I love to get deep. Yeah, I'm a deep guy. Right. But there's some people going, Scott, do you know what I mean? Do you know what? My niece said it to me the other day. She went, Scott, do you not think you just deep everything? Like, do you know what I mean? And I was just like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And I said, some people, I'm not being funny, they just live here, like in the middle, and they don't want to know themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't want to go in there. Like, and like, I know I'm not saying everybody should go and do therapy. But like the more people sit, reflect, understand who they are, then they're going to realize, shit, I don't even want to be doing this job. I don't even want to wear this outfit. I don't want to be with that. But like, but people don't take a minute to stop and realize. And I think like alcohol and stuff like that, not to be preaching here, because if you can have a few drinks and enjoy yourself, great. But I do think there's an element of all these things are like anesthetizing us and like numbing us. So we don't get to the opportunity to kind of understand who we are.
Yeah. I think it's kind of not anyone's fault really though, when you think about like it's a product of your society. Like you're told like go to university, get a 9-to-5, do this, do that, do the other. And the culture of drinking, and I think as particularly in the UK, I don't like can't speak for anywhere else, but it just is the done thing. So I think trying to break out of that is once you do, amazing. But I think you can see why people kind of do get a bit stuck in it. Do you know what's so funny? I had a nightmare last night that I was back at school. Right. And I was like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm a grown up.
Yeah, but it's like...
But
basically when you're at school, you're just taught to basically be a doctor.
Yeah.
Like the best jobs are a doctor, a lawyer. And that's it. Like they're the best jobs.
It's exactly what I was thinking on my way here. I was like, it is that school system. And I said it to you last time I saw you. I was like, when I was younger, I wanted to be an actress. But I think like, I didn't want to be an actress, but it was the closest thing to thinking what I wanted to do, which was like speaking and like, you know, helping people and doing that kind of thing. But you are given that really rigid system of like, you can be a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or this or that. And I don't know if it's changed now. I think it probably has, like, since I was at school for sure, but it's rigid. It's really rigid. And you're not really, you're kind of protected from everything as well. So I think then by the time you're like going to uni and like following that kind of traditional path, it's kind of like you're in it.
And I think for me, it's like, I am only just now figuring out who I am and what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's just after the last few years of like working on myself, self-awareness and everything else. And I'm having the courage to try and build the life that I actually want to live. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I was very much the Scotty special, just basically being who everybody else wanted me to be. And I'm still now to this day, like asking myself, going, am I doing this for me? Or am I doing this for other people?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't have the self-awareness to kind of ask themselves that honest question.
Yeah.
But what does, and I'm really interested in this, what makes you happy, right? And what does success mean to you? So I'm gonna ask you two questions. When are you happiest? Like literally describe your moment when you are happiest. Like, is it something simple? Is it when you're abroad?
I'm happiest like when I'm like with the people I love, like when I'm with my mom, when I'm with my partner, when I'm with my friends, like nothing. I always say it, one of my best friends who I live with, whenever we like have a morning and it's sunny and we go and get a coffee and together and go for a walk, I'm like, isn't this just the best? She's like, this is the best. And there's something in those really like peaceful moments that when you said what makes you happy, that's literally instantly what came to my mind is those moments.
You just said something then though, peaceful.
Yeah, contentedness. And it's, I said it to you just before we came on, like being content and feeling at peace, that's what makes me happy. The amazing moments, the highs are like mega, but like that's not sustainable. You can't have that every day. And you've got to be able to like sit in that contentedness and that happiness to be able to just, I think, to really be happy.
Yeah, I think that's the key word now. When people ask me what happiness means to me, it means peace.
Yeah.
Just like, just being able to switch off.
Totally.
Just being content in the moment, just being peaceful, like.
Yeah.
And just not feeling the constant pressure of, shit, why have I not done this? I've got to do this. Or, and I think it's just like feeling like you're enough. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing as well. That's the biggest thing that a lot of therapists and everyone talk about. Everyone doesn't feel like they're enough and they're always trying to like match up to it. And you can just tell when someone walks in a room, right, when they've got this natural confidence, right? They don't give a shit like what people think. Like they're wearing an outfit that, do you know what I mean? I've got some friends who are like it. You go, and even, I always find it funny because sometimes the guy might not be the best looking guy in the world, but girls just love him.
Yeah.
Because he's just got this natural like confidence. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, and I think just being at peace with who you are, I think that is the ultimate.
Definitely. I think
goal.
Being able to be content in those, in the mundane and those really like mundane moments and just actually being able to look around and think like, wow, like this is it. And then the second question, what does success mean to me? I think it is just helping people really. Like that's what it means to me. Like I remember like having moments with conversations with my parents a few years ago when I was at my first job and I loved it. Like I loved it. It was mad, but I loved it. But I remember like crying one evening to them. This is going to make me sound like so like holier than thou, not at all. Mm. But I was like, I feel like it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I feel like it doesn't matter. And I think for me, what that meant was like inside, I knew that it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I think I meant it didn't matter to me. Like I found it hard to find passion really in the things I did because I knew that there was something else I wanted to be doing. Whereas now, like even like doing that talk I did last week, which was like the first talk I did talking about all of this to an audience, like I was like, this is it. I was like, this is what I want to do. And it was the first time I felt like success, I guess you can say, and like real, like in my career, feeling like, no, this is the right path. But it took me a while to get there. Like it definitely took a few years. And I think like, I'm quite an overachiever. Like I think there's always going to be chasing the next bit of success. I think we all kind of have that slightly where we want to just do better and better and better. But trying to remind myself of, you know, that's why I think it's good to keep a journal as well, because you can like look back to a year ago and be like, wow, look how far I've come.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because when I hear people say like, oh, I just want to help people, right, there is an element, and I say this as well, right, that it could come across a bit cheesy or whatever but what I think the difference is, and this happened to me when I started Food Force, I was like, shit, wait a second, so I'm working on myself, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm passing on what I learned, and it's helping other people.
Yeah.
And it become, and it's like kind of, I enjoy it and it's effortless. I was like, okay, this is me. I called it, this is my calling in life. And I think that's the truth for anybody. Whether you're, I don't know, a barber and you're really good at cutting hair and it's effortless to you and you're making someone feel amazing, that's probably your sweet spot.
100%.
And that's probably like, and you are helping people mm-hmm. by doing something that comes naturally to you. You enjoy it. And I think obviously with me and you, I think we're quite similar in that sense. And by the way, I definitely need to get you involved in Food for Thoughts in some capacity after this conversation. But it's like, we have a gift of learning and wanting to share that and in turn help other people.
Definitely. And I think that's amazing that that can be what we want to do. And that doesn't have to look the same for everything. Mm. I think success looks so different for everyone. And this is something else. I think in that school system, like you're taught that you get these grades and you do that. And I think we're all at the same stage for so long. And then suddenly we're all at different stages doing different things. So it's kind of like, what does success mean? And that's where we look at other people. But one of my favorite things that like Roxy Nafusi talks about, she's like, turn envy into inspiration. Like be inspired by people, be inspired by the things you see around you and like figure out what it is that you want to do and like what does success mean to you? And I think that's amazing that we have the opportunity to do that because I think what we both do is not something that like they had on Careers Day. Do you know what I mean? Like someone wasn't coming in telling us about that. So I think to have found that is like such a blessing.
Well, you know what? On that note, I'm going to end this podcast by saying I definitely envy you because you are so good and you've got so much knowledge. And I feel like this deserves a part two. But I just wanted to ask you to come on this podcast because I am just seeing, I know the trajectory you're on and I see a lot of similarities with, I had obviously Emily English on my podcast and she's obviously shot up. I'm not saying that I'm going to be responsible for that, even though I am. No, I was joking. But I just feel like you are going to change so many people's lives.
Thank you.
Because you're making habit stacking, you're making mindset, you're making wellness cool, you're making it sexy, like you're making it enjoyable and digestible for people. And I think that's what the world needs more of. And I think we're at the forefront now of people becoming a little bit more open to, people have been open to fitness and food for a long time now, but the next step now is mindset. And obviously I've got a Zoom tonight that I'm hosting with all my members at Food Thoughts, with my therapist, Gareth. And I love the fact that I'm bringing that element into our members' lives because I think everybody deserves to have that element of personal growth and mindset. And I think you are going to be massive in that area.
Thank you.
And just before we wrap up, Izzy, where can people find you on social media?
So it's same Instagram and TikTok at Izzy Utterson.
Thank you so much, Izzy Utterson. I'm learning as I go. I honestly love sitting down with Izzy because I feel like we're so similar in so many different ways. Wellness is so much more than just fitness, nutrition. It's about mindset. It's about creating long-term habits. And she just makes everything so digestible and just fun as well. And I know if you follow her TikTok and follow her Instagram, you will get so much more from her because she's just on an incredible journey and I'm expecting big, big things. I'm so grateful for her to sit down with me today and this will just be the start. I can feel it. And I just want to say thank you again to everybody supporting the podcast. This is my happy place and you are making it possible by supporting every single week. Continue to share with me any of your takeaways from the pods, tag me in any of your stories and I will be back next week with another phenomenal guest on Learning As I Go. This podcast was produced by Purposeful Podcasts.